Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornel West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob us slang. Now we locked up a game. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states. Working your forms, black nannies carrying your white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you don't ever show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 bass. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I'm willing to get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Worst case scenario, this might work, still a couple of quirks. Can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the rodent's still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, races go. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland security, now there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres, take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early.
American,
is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Forced to climb, instead of have your back, have you beat and lost your mind? Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever force your mind. You got porn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiend, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. Since phone calls cost a dime, what it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with the same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same drug heritage.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young. America, locked me up and gave me your name.
America, 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 you know the black freedom movement. You know we've been trying to redeem the soul of the nation. Even as that nation been trying to render us soulless, but we're our soulful people, the blues people. We've been keeping alive the bus, same banner of democracy. Thank God for those who came before. We shall never forget them and always move forward with grace and dignity.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young.
Another week of Dr. Mary Lee Live. I'm Trace McMillan, your panelist, alongside Dr. Moncrief, Reverend Don, Dr. Curtis, of course, the wonderful Dr. Mary Lee, the Honorable James Cannon, father of Nick Cannon, and we have some special guests today. Lloyd Ward, Mr. Lloyd Ward, and Mr. Martin W. Johnson. So it's going to be a treat today. The topic is Ward's Horning International LLC, Straight Out of Africa Part 3. Let's go!
Beautiful, and with that introduction, I guess that leads to me then, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, we appreciate you for tuning in to the Dr. Mary Lee Live. I'm James Cannon. I'm so excited, as usual, to be a part of this conversation that we have on Wednesday night. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been live for 3 years, and we're still excited. We're still full of juice and energy. I appreciate our panel tonight that Dr. Mary Lee is going to bring to us to have to continue the conversation on economics in and around Africa and in America. What we're excited about tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is being able to have this conversation with you. And as we talk about the 400 years of greatness of us being in this country, we're excited, ladies and gentlemen. As well, we bring a special guest, Ms. Simi Petra, to the microphone as well this evening. We're going to be sharing with her just for a second as she makes an introduction. But tonight I'm excited because I have Dr. Mary Lee live again, ladies and gentlemen, as she takes the microphone and she mounts the stage to take over, ladies and gentlemen. We're excited. We've got a great conversation for you tonight. And I would say pull your pen and paper out so you can truly make notes and ask some intelligent questions. Hit one on your phone if you want to get into this conversation. If you're invited as a guest, hit one so that we also can make your microphone live. We appreciate you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. We understand many other places that you could be on a Wednesday night, but you tuned in here live with us at the Dr. Mary Lee Live show tonight. Dr. Lee, I appreciate you so very much, and let's get into the conversation.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm just excited about our part three tonight. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Cannon and Trace and our panel, our panelists. We thank you and our listening audience and all of you who tune in so faithfully over the past 3 years. We're excited, but thankful, and we're just ready for where God is taking us to next. We're going to, we're on our third, our part three of the Ward Holdings International LLC, and we are in for a treat tonight. I'm very, very excited. I do want to, before we get going, to thank all of you for your prayers, your continued prayers for my family and my grandson. Certainly appreciate it so very much. Lloyd B. Ward is the founder of Ward Holdings International, LLC. Lloyd founded WHI to build bridges among entrepreneurs worldwide, providing access to capital and fueling great business ideas. Lloyd brings 40 years of experience in capital markets, M&A, and JV formation, especially in China. He served as chairman and CEO of Maytag Corporation, president of Frito-Lay, and CEO of the 2002 United States Olympic Committee. He has also served as a member of the board of directors for General Motors Corp., J.P. Morgan Chase Company. He holds an engineering degree from Michigan State University and an MBA from Xavier University. Welcome, Lloyd Ward. Thank you for joining us tonight. If you would kindly say hello, then we're going to introduce Martin Johnson, Mr. Lloyd Ward.
This is Lloyd. Floyd. Hello, Dr. Mary. Hello, all of the listening fans. I'm looking forward to a wonderful and interactive discussion tonight. I hope you all have come with your thinking caps on. Any question is fair game. Let us explore the possibilities of better tomorrow under God's divine grace and provision. Floyd Ward here.
Thank you so very much. Martin W. Johnson is the partner and chief financial officer of Ward Holdings International, LLC. I'm going to ask you, Martin, to please press tap 1 on your phone so that we can open up your line. Okay, please tap 1 on your phone. Martin is a seasoned financial executive and entrepreneur. He has held several positions in banking, including Senior Vice President of Capital One Bank and City President of Regions Bank. As an entrepreneur, he has CFO experience in startups, early stage, and growth companies. Martin serves on numerous civic and faith-based boards and foundations. He is a member of the Central Louisiana Business Incubator Hall of Fame. He holds a degree in accounting from Southern University in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Welcome, Martin W. Johnson.
So, Dr. Mary, Martin is at a board dinner, and he'll be delayed just a few moments. And so let us get started. Let me just welcome everyone on his behalf. And he'll be joining us momentarily.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I would also like to ask Marshawn Kenzie, if you're here, you would just say hello and share a little bit about your background and who you are. And I know you have a lot of questions. So, Marshawn.
Yes, how's everything going, Dr. Mary Lee? I'm happy to be here, everybody. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Oh, yes, I'm very happy to be here. I'm excited about what's going on and you know, what's going on with Africa and what we can utilize, how we can utilize that here in the United States of America and, you know, bringing that into the diaspora. So I'm very excited to be here. You know, I am working on some great things. So we are beginning the Commonwealth of the Diaspora. Bringing that to aid as we start to begin some trade centers that we'll be starting out of Compton. So we have a lot of different projects that we'll just be finalizing on within the next few weeks as we start to really begin to really start the process of really just building this economic gap that really needs to happen. And I'm really excited about being here because it's like, you know, being able to see the work is already being done and being able to take those components that are already in place and just kind of add what we're doing, what so many other organizations are doing, and now having a roadmap that has already been done by these two great, awesome gentlemen to be able to just to, you know, use that as a general big role to continue the success of the diaspora, Africa, and us here in the African-Americans here in the United States. So, again, I'm very excited to be here and to, you know, learn more and to, you know, make sure this happens.
Thank you so much. And what's the name of your organization?
Well, we are the Mighty Forefront right now. As we're merging everything in, we're getting the Commonwealth of the Diaspora. We have the Friends of the African Union. We have a lot of organizations that are coming together to do the work that we're doing, AMC Records with Anthony Connolly. So there's a lot of corporations and organizations that are merging together to make sure that we all work to compete to make sure that we get this job done for the diaspora and as well as in Africa. So there is a real strong sense of us coming in here to work together, just like General Motors versus together, Ford and Chevy, their competition, but at the same time, they work together to build economically. So we are focused on the corporation building right now within the diaspora, and I'm very excited to see that this right here is the corporate building that's needed for what we need to do to process our kids who are coming out of college to make sure we can take their experience into these businesses that are being started through projects like the Pans and Nuts, and that's exactly what, you know, we need to happen so that we can grab our greatest minds and shift that into the diaspora, into Africa, and build the gap. And so this right here is one of the coming phases of that. So again, I'm very excited to be here.
Thank you. And you are Clutch the World straight out of Compton.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, we'll crush the world.
Much.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Mary Lee, can
yes,
you hear me?
Ma'am.
Yes, this is Dr. Moncrief. I know you're going to get around to me, but if you could just have Marshawn talk a little bit about what he wants to do in terms of having young people go over to Africa and work, and how maybe he can see that tie in to what Mr. Ward is talking about.
Absolutely. We will certainly circle back around to Marshawn to discuss that. Thank you. Thank you. I'm making a note right now. Okay. All right. So we see Mr. Martin Johnson has joined us. We thank you. We have introduced you. We would just like for you to say hello. We want to hear your voice.
Good evening, everyone. And I want to thank you, Dr. Mary Lee, for inviting me. I am attending a Christus Health Louisiana board meeting. I've been on the board about 12 years, and so this is my last official meeting with the board. So they wanted to have me to participate in some activities. And so, again, I'm grateful for another opportunity to join your show and look forward to our discussion tonight.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to ask Dr. James Cannon, if you would please introduce Simi Patel. And I believe that your line is open. So if you would give us a little introduction, we know that that you have questions as well. Dr. Cannon, tell us.
Beautiful, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate this format so much as well, because Dr. Lee does such a great job in pulling everybody together and getting us on one accord. Ms. Simi Patel is such a powerful young lady out of Chicago working with corporations in so many powerful ways, and I want her to just come in her own way, make an introduction so as we can allow her to participate here today, but in another opportunity, bring her back and set a forum up around her specialties. Again, I like empowering people with shows, you know, and as we get this new technology that comes in and it gives us an opportunity from all around the country and the world to synergize together, this becomes so powerful. So I wanted to make this introduction. I believe her mic is live, Ms. Simi Patel. If you're live, introduce yourself and speak for just for a few minutes on your strengths, please.
No problem. Thank you, Mr. Cannon. I really appreciate the floor here, and thank you for having me on your show. My name is Seema Patel. I am a transformation specialist, a project manager, and a consultant. I sit on the board for Children of the World program, which is based out of Nigeria. I'm one of the co-founders for the Stage Africa Foundation, as well as vice president of Save the Girl Child Foundation, which is based out of Delta State. So other than the NGOs that I take a great, great big interest in, I'm also considered a consultant that works with delegate events, doing a lot of fundraising, a lot of connecting, a lot of goal setting for a lot of young people. And we work on an individual basis. I work with International Model of United Nations, with a lot of young people out of Africa who want to get involved with professional development. Other than that, I'm here today to invite those of you who are employers to connect with me. And I'd like to connect with you on a one-to-one basis. So I wanted to just take this moment to give my cell phone number as well as my email address. My email address is 2010linkedin@gmail.com. And I can be found on LinkedIn, Seema A. Patel. It's S-I-M-A-A Patel. And my phone number is 312-282-7152. But more importantly, I just want to say that I have a lot of different skill sets, having worked in project management and consulting. But one of the greatest things that I ever did in my professional life, other than my background working predominantly in education, is working in the insurance industry. And I started off working in Beverly, Illinois, where there's a lot of low-income families, and we started a movement called Black Finance Matters. And it was an amazing two-year experience. And since then, fast forward 8 years, I'm working with Fortune 500 companies, and we're working with an amazing program where we're actually increasing W-2 employees who get on our plan their pay every month, as well as saving employers who employ W-2 employees over $500 per employee. So we have some huge companies who I won't name, who you definitely have heard of, who are on our plan. And I'm looking to connect because come January 1st, we're going to have a minimum requirement in order for people to be able to partake in this plan. So if you have at least 5 employees who are W-2s, I'd love to talk to you just to share this information with you and maybe answer any questions that you might have that you might want to get involved in any of the organizations that I'm involved in that are helping communities and individual basis in Africa. So thank you, Mr. Cannon, for giving me this brief moment to just say a little bit about myself. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much. Thank you for joining me.
Dr. Lee, appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you, and appreciate you so much. World Holdings International introduced TanzaNet and to the world. So we're going to ask Mr. Ward, what are TanzaNet?
Hello, Dr. Mary. I didn't get that question. What did you ask me?
I said that you had introduced, you've already introduced TanzaNet to the world. What is TanzaNet?
What is TanzaNet? Oh, okay. So, you know, TanzaNet is the brand name for the cashew nuts that we are bringing into the USA direct from the rich and fertile soils of Tanzania. Now, TanzaNet, we created that brand design. When I say we, my company, we created this brand because we know brands are important. Since Africa produces and harvests 60% of the cashews that are sold into the world. I want you to go to the store tomorrow, buy off Amazon or any other way you buy, look at the back of the package, and there will be a country of origin. And even though Tanzania nuts are in the global market, there's not one package in the world that references Tanzania as a country of origin. In fact, very few reference African countries, 60% of the total, as a country of origin. The reason is that India and Vietnam buy largely 90% of the harvest, and they package it and sell it into the global market, and they establish themselves as the country of origin. And so we know this. And as we are working a platform to bring Africa to the world, as we are working a platform to show black excellence throughout the world in business, finance, capital markets, as we are doing that, we want to feature our motherland, and we want to show the world Africa. We're starting with Tanzania. We're starting with the cashew nut subsector. We're going to be bringing many different products with brand names that speak to the country of origin, like TanzaNet speaks to the country of origin of Tanzanian grown, in-country process, value-added, consumer goods packaged, and sold directly into the global market. So TanzaNet, they're a product, certainly, but they're a movement. They're the first stage in a movement to show the world the benefit of partnering with Africa and the monetization of the rich and fertile soils of that great continent.
Thank you. Thank you. So Ward Holdings International is a global company committed to the development and advancement of economic platforms in countries through transformation and industrialization. WHI supports the success of those we partner far beyond our own economic interests. Our guiding philosophy is when our partners win, we all win. So this is posted on your website. So your introduction to the Tanzanuts, what I gather from this, is not all about Tanzanuts cashew. So Ward Holdings International is really about all of what?
Well, Tanzanuts, you have to start somewhere. And we're starting with a fabulous crop, a crop that we can monetize through value addition, which means you take something of one value, a raw material, you process it, and sell it as a finished good. And as long as the income that you make from selling it as a finished good is greater than all the expenses, all the costs of processing it in value addition, you make a profit. And so we're showing this profit capability in agricultural crops throughout Africa, starting with the cashew nut subsector. Let me give you just, and I'll tell you kind of how we think about things. There's a simple model that we use when we look at how we can win in the global market as we advocate for Africa becoming a member of the mainstream of global economic activity, an equal partner in global economic activity. And Africa has been marginalized by 300 years of colonialism and now the post-colonial era. The post-colonial era is 60 years old. African countries started to get their independence from European countries in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So they are still relatively new in terms of self-governance. The way that colonialism favored, the way that colonialism required, and that is, in colonialism, they extracted the vast wealth of resources, the wealth of Africa, at their will, at their discretion. After colonialism, they just did a little better than that by extracting those same great riches at the lowest economic value in the global supply chain as commodities. That's true in mining. It's true in energy, hydrocarbon energy. They still sell crude to the world, mostly into Europe, and they buy back refined oil, their own oil. Example, Nigeria has oil deposits in their land equal to the Middle East. And Nigeria has, they do oil drilling, they develop crude, they sell it to Europe, and then they buy back their same oil at 10, 20, 30 times higher economic value. They have not built refineries. That refineries are a way to value add crude into a higher economic value. So we're doing the same thing in agriculture, where we start with what's called for the Tanzanuts, we start with an RCN, a raw cashew nut. We value add process it, which means we cut open the shell, extract the kernel. We sort it by size, each of these kernels that we consume and enjoy. We sort it by size. We take off the tesla. That's like a thin layer like on a peanut. Take that off. You can roast it, salt it, coat it, package it, and sell it directly into the global market. And that's what we do. And in Tanzania, we call those products, the kernels that we extract from the RCN, we call that Tanzanut. Now, so the first thing is to know and serve your market. We know the market for cashew, in the world. We know where they're sold, how they're sold. We know the economic value of them. It's already determined. We don't have to guess. We go out and we characterize the market. We know the retail channels. We know the special channel. We know direct to consumer. We know how much is sold on Amazon. We know how much is sold. And so that's how you know and understand your market. That's where we started. Then the next thing you do is you follow the money. You have to say, is there sufficient money in this business in order to make it sustainable? And I don't mean sustainable by green. I mean sustainable by lasting. Can this be a lasting business because it generates enough profit to be worthwhile? Does it generate enough profit to be a financeable in the banks? Does it generate enough profits to be attractive to private equity or venture capital? You have to know the economics of your business. And this is something that you really have got to master. Got to master the financials of your business. And then the third point that we advocate is to act in unity. And when you act in unity, you get scale. I'll tell you an African fable. There's no African fable. There was an elephant and an ant walking through the jungle together. They approach the bridge. They decide to cross it together. And they do. Mid-span, that bridge starts to sway and creak and rumble. They continue. They get to the other side. And that ant stopped and looked up to that elephant and said, boy, we sure shook that thing, didn't we? You see, the moral of that story is if you walk with elephants, you will shake all the bridges you come across in your life. You will be known. I walk with many elephants to navigate through God's grace and provision my way from entry level to the corner office. You think I did that alone? No way, no how. You have to walk with elephants. Who are your elephants? Who are your elephants in terms of mentoring? Who are your elephants in terms of business development? Who are the ones that can help you when you need a helping hand, can guide you when you don't know the way? Who are the ones that can give you a mid-course correction when it's needed? Who are those? If you don't have them, you will be alone and it will not achieve your greatness. So walk with elephants, act in unity, and you are destined to achieve more for yourself and for kingdom.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to go to Dr. Long. I believe you, when we left off last time, I think you still had some questions. And so we're opening up the floor now to any of you out there with any questions. And, you know, we want to answer, you know, any and all of your concerns and also any statements you'd like to make. Starting with Dr. Long and then we'll go to Dr. Moncrief. Dr. Long?
Hi, again. Thank you, Dr. Mary Lee, for the opportunity. And this has been a great program, this being the third version of it. Yeah, my question earlier was, again, what was the foreseen impacts of global warming, not only in Africa, but as we know, around the world? And that question was answered pretty well last week by Mr. Ward. And I've also shared the conversations with other members within the Metropolitan Detroit community who also have interest in this opportunity. And I'm hoping that at least Natasha Baruti, who's the wife of one of our colleagues who recently died, Dr. Tamir Baruti, they have a lot of interest in investing in the continent, particularly in the areas of Ghana. And so I'm hoping she's on the call so she can ask some of the questions that she may have as well. Other than that, you know, from my perspective, it's been insightful as a physician, and I'm sure many of my colleagues on the call will attest to this, that we weren't given any education in terms of not only how to utilize your assets as a physician in the community as far as money goes and investing. So this has been a godsend in terms of exploring and understanding particularly the motivation for investing in the continent of Africa. I just only wish this had occurred 20 years earlier. But from my perspective, my particular question was answered by Mr. Ward and Mr. Johnson last week, and I just look forward to learning more tonight as I listen in.
Thank you. Dr. Moncrief.
Good evening, and thank you for, again for letting me be a part of the show. I'm very excited about what Mr. Ward and Mr. Johnson are going to talk about tonight. And like I said, Marshawn, and I apologize, I just forgot your last name, the connection between the two these two powerhouses from the areas and perspectives where they're coming from. I had the opportunity years ago to travel to Ghana and see firsthand, or have a firsthand experience in Africa, and interacting with the people there. And it was beautiful. It was wonderful. It was like returning home. I remember going to the dungeons where we were kept as a people before we were forcibly shipped over here to America, and seeing over the doorway of no return, and then going through and looking back and now seeing the doorway of return. And so when we get this opportunity to actually do something that would help a whole nation, a whole country of Tanzania, is just a wonderful opportunity. I guess the question that I would start off with, and Mr. Ward has already answered it, but I want him to say it again. Why the opportunity to invest in this Tanzanuts, or invest in Ward Holdings International Tanzania? Why is the opportunity there? And I realize, you know, that the minimum coming in price is $2,500. But for an opportunity like this, why is it so low? Mr. Ward, please explain to the audience and me again why you're giving people the opportunity to do something this great for a price that really, you know, is low when you think about it.
Yeah, so thank you for that question. What is your name again, sir?
Yep, this is Dr. Moncrief.
Okay, Dr. Moncrief. You know, that's a powerful question, and the answer is a kingdom answer. And Martin, are you on? I'm going to have Martin give you kind of the way we thought about this, because we've taken it in increments, but everything has been about kingdom. You see, the industrialization of Africa is like the industrialization of America, the U.S., 150 years ago. The difference today is we already know the market. We have the technology. We don't have to guess at anything. So through God's provision, we can economically model exactly what we're going to create, and we invent nothing, and we go into an established market where Tanzanuts are already in the market, not as Tanzanuts, but as some product from Vietnam. So this is a very important point, and then we're going to answer your question. But I want you to understand the kingdom side of this. That God has said to me, it's already done, go do the work. And as Martin and I, over the last 3 years, have listened to God and moved forward, we have unlocked God's provision going forward that is abundant. God would not have provided Africa the most resource-abundant land on earth by far. You've got to understand that. By far, there's no land on earth that is endowed with natural resources like Africa. None. Okay. So would God have provided that abundance of resources and expected scarcity for its inhabitants? No. Okay. So now, I'm really going to get to your answer. I'm going to ask Martin to do that in a minute. But I want to start with kingdom. So God has said that it is time. It is kingdom time. And the Bible says the first shall be last, the last shall be first. It is about abundance. He has always wanted abundance for our motherland, and we are an extension of our motherland as a part of the diaspora. The largest diaspora in the world are African Americans from Africa. We ride on the shoulders of our ancestors that were bought against their will, stacked in slave ships like sardines. And if it were not for them, would be no us. And so what does God want from us? I had an epiphany. I'm not going to explain that now, but I had an epiphany where God helped me understand and see why he put me on this earth. And so we are not business as usual. We are not investors as usual. We are about abundance and money with a purpose. And we know this. I want everyone on this call to know this. What we will generate through unlocking God's provision in Africa for those that want to walk with us, what we will unlock is not our money. This is the crazy thing. This is kingdom. This is not our money. It is God's provision to all. And one of the things that Martin and I spend most of our time dealing with around the money that will be made, and we're talking about a $1 trillion platform. $1 trillion is 1,000 billion. $1 trillion is 1,000,000,000,000. And Martin and I see it. We see it because we don't have to imagine it. We can model exactly. I was the president of Frito-Lay in the United States, and you all know the great company that Frito-Lay is, with Fritos and Tostitos and Doritos and Sun Chips and on and on. God, let me have that experience. I'm telling you this. All that we're unlocking is being unlocked with known technology going into a known market with powerful, the best raw materials in the world, the best agricultural crops in the world can be found in Africa. Now, I'm sorry, I'm off the point, but I want to get back on the point. So once you understand that it is kingdom money, it is God's provision, and his provision is to whom? His provision is to Africa and its diaspora, and now listen to me. It's the diaspora of Africa are all human beings on earth because God planted the seed of humankind in Africa. Now, all the challenges that we face are of men. They are not of heaven. Okay, so I'm helping you understand why we have said inclusion is what we are commanded to do. Inclusion. And when we looked at Africa and we were looking at, we're taking our company IPO, that's initial public offering. There's another story there. If you want to talk about that, we can talk about that later. There's another story there, but it's inclusion. And when we're talking about inclusion in the capital markets, I'm going to have Martin come back and talk and answer your question specifically, but I want to go this direction for a minute. When we talk about inclusion in the capital markets, in a public stock, you have shareholders. When Martin and I were developing our framework for our IPO in Africa in the Dar es Salaam Stock Exchange, and we were developing that relative to how we would go to market, one of the things we had to decide was what our per share price would be at listing. Listing is the moment that you first go public. And that's the only thing you control. After you go public, that first trade, after that, the market determines what the price is. We only determine it at that momentary second of the initial opening price, and then the market starts to trade. And so we have that control. So we said, okay, how do we think about inclusion of Africa in the industrialization of their land and their resources under God's provision and promise? God's money, God's provision. We're unlocking God's provision. We're not uncovering our money. We're unlocking God's provision. And so we said, okay. I thought, you know, $20 a share. Martin was much closer than I. He was at $10 a share. And we were, and so we go into our advisors, Orbit Securities, and they are excellent at what they do. And we said, we want inclusion of retail. That's everyday people. Institutions are the people with all the money. The big organizations, institutions have all the money. They have the money. They keep making the money. We said, we want everyday citizens to have an opportunity to buy in. And we want, we said, half of our offering, 75% of our offering, we want it to be Africa-specific. And half of that, we want it retail. This is just, see, we're market makers. Most of the difference around understanding where we are is, yes, there are rules, but within the broad rules, like the Dar es Salaam says that we have to offer a minimum of 20% of our company to be public. That's a rule you got to live within. So there are rules, but there's such this broad playing, this incredible open space to determine how you do what you want to do. And so we are the ones that determine what the per share price is. And so I said 20, Martin said 10, and we said to them, we said, if we want to get retail, everyday citizens to be interested in and have affordable for them to buy into our public company as a shareholder, what must we do? And here's what they told us. They told us we have to list it at somewhere around 220 T shillings. Now, you got to understand what that means. The exchange rate, one U.S. dollar equals 2,300 Tanzanian shillings. That's insane. But that's the way the market is. And we can talk about it as well. We can talk about why and how that came about. God gave me the provision to understand these things because he allowed me to see them. And so I'm looking at all this, and I'm trying to figure out, you know, and this is over 3 years as we have spent our time. Literally all of our time has been spent in Africa or thinking about how to unlock God's provision and promise for Africa. So see, it was never our money. And so as we were looking at that, they said 200 to 220 T shillings. Martin, how much is 220 T shillings in U.S. dollars? Martin, come on. Martin, how much?
9.6 cents. It's less than a dime.
So if we think about 9.6 cents, and that's because of the exchange rate. $1 equals 2,300 Tanzanian shillings. So because of the exchange rate, right, and because we were looking at it from a U.S.-centric point of view, $20 for our platform that ends up being now a $1 billion platform is a very low price per share. Martin was saying, Lloyd, we got to be lower. I said, yeah, I think so, Martin, but you know, we got this big IPO raise. And he says, yeah. And so we talked to Orbit, and they just blew us away. They blew us away. But the unintended consequence for us, pricing, would have been to essentially eliminate and make it impossible for the vast majority of Africans financially to participate in unlocking God's provision for them. And so I say that to help you understand what Martin's going to tell you next about how we started, where we started with our family and friends, and how we got to where we are. I want you to know that story, but you won't understand that story unless you understand how we think about this, what's in our soul, what's in our heart, why we're doing this. I'm 73 years old. And God has put abundance in front of me, showing me at 70 why he put me on this earth. And the riches that can be unlocked in Africa are greater, listen to me, greater than the riches that have been unlocked in the USA. This is the time of the industrialization of Africa, and we are like the Rockefellers and the Vanderbilts and the Carnegies and the Henry Fords and the, those that walk with us and walk parallel to us. I don't necessarily mean you have to invest in us. You can watch what we're doing. You can develop your own model. You can. We'll give you our model. We'll tell you what it is. We'll show you how to do it. We hope you can be successful with it. We'll mentor you and coach you on it. Anybody that wants to come in and make a positive difference in Africa to unlock God's provision and promise to the people of Africa and its diaspora, and the diaspora is all of us. Anyone that is willing to do that, we will cooperate with, we will partner with, we will show the way with. And so first understand that. And now, Martin, please give the view, answer the question.
Okay, so everyone, when Lloyd and I formed this company, Ward Holdings, Tanzania in January 2020. We started this with just Lloyd and me, and then we added our family, Lloyd's two brothers and Lloyd's two sisters, and my four sisters. And we decided that we wanted to take on what the government and leaders of Tanzania asked us to do, which was we went over there. A Chinese province, Wabin, asked us to assist them with trade and commerce, increasing trade and commerce between their inland port and in Africa. And when we got over there, our brothers and sisters in Tanzania said, yeah, we're open to doing more business with the Chinese, but we would like for you to help us with industrialization of our agriculture sector and to please start with cashew nuts. So we started this with Lloyd's two brothers and him and his two brothers and two sisters and my four sisters. And then we did a deep dive into this industry. And then while we were doing all of this, when we were planning and gathering information, we decided we were going to take our company public. And we said, look, they told us what they wanted us to do with making sure we were inclusive of those in Tanzania. But you know, we said we want to bring some of our brothers and sisters from the U.S. And so we decided to expand this beyond just our immediate families. We decided that we were going to offer it to our other family and friends. And that's what has us on this call today. So we started at $25,000, and that was our families and close friends. And then at some point, the family and friends network grew, and we had investors who said, look, if you really want to be inclusive, just like you're doing in Tanzania, we need to reduce it from $25,000. And so Lloyd and I discussed it, and we decided to reduce it to $5,000. That was probably 9 months ago that we reduced it to $5,000 as a minimum investment. And guess what? The investor network grew. And as soon as they grew more, we had investors said, look, we have others that want to get in. They can't reach the 5,000. Would you consider reducing it to 2,500? Lloyd and I discussed it. We talked it over with our investor group, and we reduced it to 2,500. That's how we got to 2,500. It's not that we weren't thinking about being inclusive. We were always thinking about being inclusive. That's why we went beyond our immediate families and started talking to other family and friends. We wanted others to see what we were doing in Tanzania. And also, we want all of you to consider, if you've not been to Africa, and I always do this as a confession and during our pre-IPO investment meetings, I don't believe, and God allowed me, I was president of a bank in Central Louisiana, Regions Bank for Central Louisiana, and 30 years in banking. I had customers that I financed that did business in Africa. I had customers who would go over for safaris and vacations. They would be gone 3 and 4 weeks at a time. But I don't believe there's anyone more wrong about Africa than Martin Johnson, me. So please know this. This is a very beautiful part of the world, and Lloyd and I, we've met with the leadership, not just in agriculture, the Minister of Agriculture, the Minister of Industry and Trade, the President of Tanzania. Not only have we had meetings with those people, but we've met with the Tanzania Association of Tour Operators. That's TATO, Tanzania Association of Tour Operators. And they told us of all of the people that travel into Tanzania to go see the Serengeti, Mount Kilimanjaro, Lake Victoria, Zanzibar, the spice capital of the world, and all of the other beauties of that country. Less than 2% of African Americans come there for a vacation. And my wife and I, we've taken our daughters and friends of ours, we've taken them to Mexico, we've taken them to Jamaica, Bahamas, we've gone to many places. But we never thought about taking our kids and our other family members to Africa. And it's because we were brainwashed by America. They talked to us about poverty, corruption, and kids with flies in their eyes, all the bad things. We have seen the beauty of Africa. We've seen the things that I just mentioned to you. But they said, Tato said, less than 2% of us come back there. And I believe right now is our time to not only share the opportunities on the side to help induct with industrialization, but to share, they have a huge tourism business in Tanzania, but it's not us. And so now we bring that to you. Tanzanite, I got diagnosed with vitiligo 2 years ago. Michael Jackson had it. Some people say he was trying to turn himself white, but I can tell you, I'm not trying to bleach my skin. It's happening. At age 56, I'm dealing with it. But the dermatologist who's taking care of me in Alexandria, when I told him of our work in Tanzania, he said, hey, can you get my wife some Tanzanite? That's the only place in the world you can get Tanzanite. And Google it, the cost of it. He wanted me to bring Tanzanite, and we've done that. We introduced Tanzanite to this market less than 90 days ago. So, again, we started at $25,000 with our families and by listening to those who've invested. And we're approaching 200 investors in our company just because God has opened doors with us now with Dr. Mary Lee. But we've spoken to the Full Gospel Baptist Convention, and we have tremendous support from their leadership. We've spoken with the National Baptist Convention of America, the Louisiana Home and Foreign Mission Baptist Convention. We most recently, July the 27th, Lloyd and I were invited to go to Seattle, Washington, and meet with the Baptist Convention of the Northwest, the Greater National Baptist Convention of the Northwest, the Greater Convention of the Northwest. Dr. Gary Tyson invited us over there, and we've had many investors join us from that area. And we're trying to spread the word on not only what we're doing, but also all of the benefits of going back. We believe, Lloyd and I believe, that our brothers and sisters in the motherland have been waiting on those of us who God has blessed with the gifts and talents that we have to come back and help them. So it's called the General Baptist Convention of the Northwest. Dr. Gary Tyson, Bishop Gary Tyson, is the leader of that organization. But they've been waiting on us to come back and help them, and we're excited about the opportunities that we are working on in our motherland.
All right, thanks, Martin. So I hope that gives you some sense, and thank you for asking that question. But it's for inclusion. We're going to have $1 billion raise for our IPO, $1 billion raise on a $5 billion EV enterprise value. And we're willing to raise it at 10 cents a share in Africa. That's crazy. Crazy. No one else would do that. You won't do that unless you know there's a different time. This is for different reasons. It isn't to be as expedient as we can to raise that and get those that can write $50 million, $100 million, $200 million checks. We'll get some of those for sure. They'll line up. I'm telling you, they'll line up. But that's not kingdom. And kingdom is about commonwealth, not more individual wealth, particularly wealth that already exists. God is not providing that to make the wealth, those that are wealthy, wealthier. That is not his provision is not to do that. That has been the 400 years of history. And so that's why we're doing it. And thank you for such a great question. Sorry for such a long answer, but thank you for a great question.
No, thank you. I really appreciate the answer to that question. Can I ask another one, Dr. Merrily? Are we going to move on?
No, absolutely. Go ahead. You know, when you're done, then we're going to ask Marshawn, because I know he'll have questions. But, no, go ahead and with, you know, all the questions that you have.
Okay. So this next question is more of a concrete question. I'm going to step back and say that, you know, that the price of $2,500 is low. I guess it's on the perspective of where you're standing. But in terms of looking into the future and the possibilities, I said that it was low. Okay. My next question, though, is for the $2,500 the minimum buy-in of $2,500. I know you've said, Mr. Ward, that there's an opportunity for. But what else is involved for that $2,500? And kingdom building, you've addressed.
Okay. So yeah, you're asking granular questions that are great. So one of the things that we will do with that every investor that invests pre-IPO, every investor, $2,500, $25,000, $100,000, they're a member of our family, period. For some people, investing $2,500 is as challenging for others to invest $100,000, maybe more challenging. We know. People have talked to us. They said, we're struggling. We're saving. We're working a second job. We're doing anything. I'm telling you this is what's happening. Some are forming LLCs where they're bringing, you know, several members of their family together or even friends of their family together and, you know, putting in $300, $400, $500 together. This is unity that is a part of the kingdom work. We honor it. So, therefore, whether it is $2,500, $25,000 or more, we honor it. That's the first thing. The second thing is all investors pre-IPO, can't be after IPO because it's random then, it's just a market, and people invest for a lot of different reasons. So all that are investing before IPO are special to us. They're our founding investors, and we will keep you cataloged. And we will represent you in ways that are kingdom. That means we share broadly. We give generously. So one of the ways we're going to share and give, I'm offering, and it should start in the next month or two, a CEO mentoring session. In fact, Dr. Mary's got some specific ideas on how we might do that. And thank you, Dr. Mary, for your ideas and thoughts on how we can do that together. Because she's three years you all have been doing this, and it's this kind of format. It'll be this kind of format.
Yes.
It'll be a 4-hour event, and it's going to be highly instructional, interactive, community, learning, growing together. Working together, learning together, growing together. And it's going to be me leading it, and I'll be bringing in others that will be able to expound on things that I don't know about or some things that they may see differently than me. That's all good. It's all about learning and growing. And Martin's going to be doing that from the financial point of view. We've got others from experts in every part of business, every aspect, everything. And we're going to make that available to the group of investors free. So it's not free. It's because you've already invested in us. So, and I've got a bogey right now. It may change, but a bogey right now. I'm out actually with the offering at $25,000 a year for that. It'll be once a year once a month, 12 times a year, 4 hours each session. And it will be purposeful. It'll have 1 hour of reviewing something that will be instructive to all of us, like viewing The Man Who Built America or The Food That Built America, like that. It'll be an hour of debriefing that for lessons learned and areas for leverage going forward. It then will be an hour of discussing the principles of how you build great businesses in a global global context. It can be, when I say global, it doesn't mean you have to be global. It means you have to be of the mentality, the acumen, the understanding of the global markets. You have to, even if you're just dealing in your local town, because the global economic, macroeconomics will affect what you do. It's a connected world, and it's more connected every day. So you must see more than what you see where you are. And then the last hour will be actually working through specific initiatives and projects that the members will want to discuss in a tangible and discrete way. So something like that. And so my mission is to give broadly, give freely, and that's one of the things that will be a part of what the investors will get. We have other initiatives that are growing out of our platform for our founding investors, not for the IPO investors. The IPO investors will get the benefits of the IPO platform. It will be definitive, specific, as it must be. For those of you that will invest prior in other things that we are doing, that God is expanding our territory, we will include you as a part of that. It's about sharing. It's about giving. It's about unity. It's about family. It's about kingdom. So that's what I'd offer to you.
Hey, Lloyd. Lloyd, let me add comments to your answer. And everyone, I know that Dr. Mary Lee has been doing this for about 3 years now, and you know, I applaud her and all of you for being a part of what she's doing. I don't want us to take for granted. Lloyd actually reached the corner office. He headed the U.S. Olympic, raised $300 million on Wall Street. And so when he's offering mentoring this, I want y'all to know that Lloyd could actually be charging for public, for speaking at events. And look, there are people who made offers to him. They've offered us not only a television network for our company, but they've also offered a one-hour session on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network. They want Lloyd on there to help them raise money for the Trinity Broadcasting Network. These are things that people pay for. The former presidents of the United States, former CEOs. So I don't want us to take for granted just because we've been on here 3 weeks that he has to do this or has to offer this. And look, this came out of, we spoke at the National Black Chamber of Commerce Convention in Washington, D.C. a few months ago. And we sat on a panel discussion prior to Lloyd being the keynote speaker. And it was like, after he spoke, it was like being with a rock star. The room emptied to follow him. And so what I want everybody to understand, I don't want us to take for granted, because Lloyd is Dr. Mary Lee's homeboy from Michigan, that he has to be on this call, or we have to be on this call, talking about the work that we're doing, but also offering to mentor people. He could be doing everything. I mean, he has two sons and four grandkids. He could be spending his time with, but he's willing to give us his time to help us understand things. And I want to go back to I met him 12 years ago. It was when I was president of Regions, and he was doing some things in Louisiana and around the country. And we've been doing business together directly now 10 years now that we've been out just pursuing opportunities. But I will tell you that his background, it shows every day in how he does things. I've not seen anyone in my life with the discipline that he has.
He's a second-degree black belt and a master in Tai Chi. 73 years old, but he works out every day. And when I tell you he has a focus unlike any person I've ever met in my life, and I believe it's because of the things that God has allowed him to accomplish in his career. Vice President of Procter & Gamble, Vice President of PepsiCo, President of Frito-Lay, Chairman and CEO of Maytag, Chairman and CEO of the United States. He's just seen more things than us. Jeff Bezos, who runs Amazon. Lloyd was in CEO training sessions or forums that where there were just CEOs in there, and he's just been invited. This is something that's getting ready to occur. There are 650 CEOs that's going to be at Liberty University's CEO conference. They've asked Lloyd to keynote it during the daytime, and Newt Gingrich is keynoted in the evening. Now, I don't think, you know, not many of us are going to get those kind of opportunities. So when we're talking about him taking time out of his schedule to mentor our investors, there are people telling me I would pay to speak with Lloyd Boyd. He's on this call now. This is the third week in a row. And if we're not on here to raise money. We're on here to let you know what we're doing. We're on here to let you know that there's opportunities in Africa. And I don't want any of us to take for granted that it's God that's allowing him to not only focus on Africa. But there, some people have asked us, why haven't this been done before in Africa? And, you know, why haven't, you know, the cash, they've been trying to do this 30 years, over 30 years to get cashew nuts into America. But they asked Lloyd Boyd to lead it. The government of Tanzania asked us to do this. And now that we're doing it, some people assume it's been easy. We've had to do a lot of work to get it to this point. And now that the first shipment is getting ready to come over here, yeah, it's time for us to thank God for what he's allowed us to accomplish. And there are some that don't know the work that we've done. We've been on the ground. We have a team on the ground right now, making sure the packaging is right and the Tanzania brand is right. We have put a lot of work into what we're doing, and we are committed to it. Whether you invest or not, we want you to know what we're doing, and you will see these cashew nuts into, not only are we going to send them into the retail outlet, but we're going to do direct to consumer. We just met with a publicly traded company in New York that asked us to be their our exclusive e-commerce provider. The market is recognizing what we're doing. And I will also share with you all this. We got invited to an Unstoppable Africa Summit in New York City last week. It was while the United Nations was meeting in New York, and traffic was extremely heavy. But there were leaders from all over Africa. We met a billionaire from South Africa, Dr. Patrice Motsepe, and I may have mispronounced his last name, but they are people who are focused on Africa in addition to what we're doing. Google is there. The leadership of Google was at this Unstoppable Africa Summit. The Adam Silver,
Commissioner of the NBA.
Yeah, the Commissioner of the NBA. And he met Lloyd when Lloyd was head of the United States Olympic Committee. So when we met with him afterwards, and Lloyd said, hey, Commissioner, it's great to see you. And he said, you may not remember me. I met you when you were at David Stern's understudy. And he said, Lloyd, I remember you. And you know why I remembered him? Not many black men have led the United States Olympic Committee. Not many black men have been chairman and CEO of a Fortune 500 company. Of course he remembered it. But Adam Silver, when he was speaking up there, and they were asking him questions about the NBA's commitment to Africa, there's statistics out there. By 2050, one in four people in the world will be from Africa. So guess what? There's going to be some more Akeem Olajuwon, some more Mutombo. Yeah, Mutombo. We met these people while we were there, and they're African females playing in the
NBA now. And it's going to continue to grow because the average age in Africa is 19.7. 19.7 years of age. That's the average. This place, that place is exploding and growing, and guess what? They have all of the most fertile soils in the world. So I've gone off on that. Sorry about that, Dr. Mary Lee. I'll stop there.
Hey, Martin, we'll stop here, but just I want, it's the median age is 19.7. Median means half of the population is above and half is below. So half of the population in Africa is below 20 years of age. I mean, that's staggering. That's absolutely staggering. And so, you see, the future is about the youth. Let me say one other thing. Dr. Mary was actually there with us at Unstoppable Africa. Thank you, Dr. Mary, for coming. She witnessed what Martin was just saying. She was with us by our side the entire time we were there. Thank you so much, sweetheart, for joining us and giving us your love and support. We really appreciate it.
And I was just so happy to be there. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to both of you. Thank you, Martin, for your last comment here. And I just want to reemphasize, yes, I've been here for 3 years. But I don't really have to be here. I'm here because I love our people. I love us. I'm here because I want to share, you know, for the same purposes that Ward Holdings International is here. You know, we're here to provide opportunities that, you know, just anyone is not going to offer to our community. No, I my minimum hourly charge for anything is $550 an hour. I co-signed on the Affordable Care Act with Obama, along with a few others who we worked faithfully to get that through. You know, and I mean contributed our time and you know, our various types of expertise to this Affordable Care Act. I have worked for top attorney law firms in the area of business development, economic development, business transactions, acquisitions. I have done it all when it comes to the legal side of development and business organization of planning, strategic planning with top law firms in the world. I was in charge at one law firm of all of General Motors subsidiaries. I was in charge of every in another company, and these were by contract mostly. Every type of drug that was created, you know, by this particular company, all over the world. I was in charge of where those drugs were, keeping track, you know, all the records. This is in California. I worked with the founders of Apple when they came out of the garage. Their first, you know, location in manufacturing. So, and I worked with the city of San Jose with the chief attorney, and everything comes out of the law offices. I mean, everything that goes on in a city, in development, you know, laws, you know, everything comes out of that chief attorney's office. He was over 45 attorneys, 35 paralegals, and I was in charge. I say that to say I don't have to be here. I gave up about 10 years ago. I created Neighborhood Commerce Institute as a conduit to reach, our communities and our people with information, access to capital, to funding of all sources, in economic development. Access that our people don't know anything about. I formed Neighborhood Commerce 20 years ago. Basically servicing white organizations, advancing Native missions, which was really, of all the work that I've done, was the one area, because we were working, they provided services, funding development services, and I brought the grant management and development to advance the Native missions. You can look it up, and you can see, all of the countries. They do nothing in America. Everything outside of America in economic development. I established their system that they're yet using today back in, 2006, 2007, 2008. I have managed, 7 to 10 counties plans in various states. And so, we're here. I'm here these 3 years to educate, to provide access, to bring organizations, businesses, opportunities to our people, such as what Ward Holdings International is offering, has brought to us, because I truly love you. I truly love you. I have given up a substantial amount of money, earnings, to be here. And, sometimes, over the last 10 years, I have literally just given all my time. I have lived out my retirement money set, all my savings, everything to bring this to you. Who would do that? Who would do that except for someone? Who would do what Ward Holdings is doing? They don't care about us like that. I've been in the boardroom, in the presidential suit. I know how they plan, and I know how they redline us out. I understand full well what's going on with the gentrification in every major city, throughout this country, because I was in the boardroom and I was in the presidential suit while planning was taking place. So for me, my satisfaction, God has called me to do what I'm doing. God sustains me no matter what comes and what goes. So I just wanted to say this, just in to try to add a little bit more light to the why. The why. Because of who you. Because everyone on this line here. We want you to have opportunities that you've never heard of before. But you have to trust us. Yeah, what have I experienced over the past 10 years? Skepticism, left and right, and all kinds of complaints to the point where I'm like, oh, God, why am I doing this? I was a single parent, raised my children, I raised a lawyer, and a technology engineer. That wasn't an easy task. And so, what I'm saying here is that I've exchanged my life, really, to be here and to help. And we cannot always, be so, discussing you have to understand this is another reason for the show. You know, 400 years of succession, 400 years of not being included, you know. But we're here to correct this. We're here to rewrite, you know, our history to our future. The next 400 years, we want to establish things for our children and our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and on and on. We really do. We really want to change the narrative. And, you know, we're part of a paradigm shift that is happening. When we talk about kingdom building, many really don't understand it. But what we're attempting to do is to meet you where you are. And just, you know, I'm personally asking you to trust us. You know, trust those of us who really, really, really do care and who love you. Business is not easy. It is not easy to establish anything in business. It means you're going to have your challenges, you know, in every capacity. But that's not a reason for us to, you know, not continue or to, you know, criticize, you know, what with our work that we are doing. Because there's so much that we don't understand as a people when it comes to business. And so, you know, with that, Dr. Montreat, or is it Marshawn?
Yes, I'm going to hold off on my questions till everybody has a chance to ask some questions, and then if we get back around to me, then I'll come back. Okay?
Okay, thank you. Marshawn.
Yes. Yes, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Yes, I'm very excited. I mean, this is, I think we really need to understand of what we really have here with Lloyd and Martin. You know, when you talk about corporate America and you talk about the forefathers of corporate America, you know, when you talk about Fritos, you talk about General Motors, these are some of the forefathering companies that, you know what I'm saying, in a sense that have existed and have done so much. When you talk about their capabilities and what they've done on a global scale, and we have gentlemen who have navigated that excellently well. You know, it's kind of like, you know, one of the things that I always complain about is like, you know, we don't have black businesses, we don't have no big head corporations, and a lot of times it's because we didn't have we don't have that mindset or being in those positions where we have had the opportunity to see how it's done, how to see how it's done at that level, at that magnitude, at a global scale, and usually we don't really get an opportunity to get those back. Usually when they get into that atmosphere, they generally stay over there and they just empower a lot of powerhouses. But now we got this powerhouse that we control. It's kind of like, you know, the Pokemon game in a sense where it's like now we've got two powerful Pokemons, like, you know, Big Lloyd Munchie, that now we can throw out there into America, into the corporate field, that's able to be just as far as able to compete. You got to understand when you go from companies like General Motors and Fritos, and then you go into the Olympics, that's global now. That means that they see so much potential in you that you did in the States that we want to see how we can execute that on a global scale. The Olympics is the whole world. You know what I'm saying? So being able to navigate not just here in America, but being able to navigate that into the global Olympics, that just gives us an even more powerhouse of the leadership that we have. You know, and that would be leading the times in us. I think that's the most important. You know, we can really talk about the great concept, and there's a lot of great concepts out there. There are so many great things out there, but really when he talks about family, that is very important when he mentions family, because a family is always great, can only be great if it has great leaders. You see what I'm saying? And so when you have a family member and you have great leaders, you know, when you're in the Serengeti Plains and you got those two lions out there that have already hunted elephants, they've hunted the wildebeest, they've hunted the water buffalo, they know how to hunt, how to stay away from the cobras. They know these things. So when he talks about teaching these classes, he's going to be able to have our young lions be able to walk through the Serengeti and understand the difference of a male lion, a male elephant and bull. bull and a regular male elephant that's wounded. You know what I'm saying? The difference between that to help them be able to navigate the way. And so they've already done that. So this is the experience. This is the intelligence of someone who has done this. It's willing to give back to our young 18, 16-year-old minds. Can you imagine our young minds who soak up so much or are so creative can have just the percentage of what they've already done embedded into them at such a young age, the powerhouses that they potentially can start to be, what we can potentially build with this mindset. You know, I'm from Compton, so I've seen what we can build from a negative mindset in a sense. So I could imagine having this growing up as an 11-year-old kid and having this type of persons and lines in front of us that can navigate us is exactly what we need in the community. And then not just that, but now we have an opportunity to be a part of that. We have an opportunity to be able to see. But I think when you look at the cryptocurrency market out there, you see Bitcoin and you see Ethereum and you see all these. There's so many coins out there. But when you look at Bitcoin, it was out there because it had people who were experienced, understood the financial realm. They have navigated through these. They all came together and they built something. And so that's why you see some of those cryptocurrency that just stand out further because they had what? They had great leadership. Great leadership. And so with that in place, there was a time when everybody, a lot of people would go, oh, man, I should have got there. I should have had that percentage when it had this, you know, and people didn't study the leadership at that time. If you had studied the leadership of Bitcoin, then you would have knew, oh, look what their leadership has a capable of doing. So if you look at the leadership of what Tanzania has and what Mary Lee has and the leadership of people who will be coming behind this, when you see that, you can see that, okay, looking at Fritos. All you got to do is look at Fritos. All you got to do is look at General Motors. If you want to bury and say, well, what's the possibilities that Tanzania can go? Tanzania can go. What's the possibility? What is the minimum it could do? Fritos? General Motors? Maybe the Olympics? Because the leadership has done that before, so it's already navigated that. It knows what that tastes like. And I want people to understand, when you get a taste for something over years and years, it becomes normal. Now, I know it may seem far-fetched to us, but to someone who has navigated so long, it's just work. It's just getting up in the day. And so when you have someone who can normally go out there, because this is elephant. This is bull elephant. The bull elephants, the musk, are that's probably the most dangerous thing on African plains. And the fact that they're able to go and take down an elephant musk and be able to do this, this is something that now we can teach our young men to go into. Because our whole goal and concept now is with our youth or with the transaction that they have already made is now that, you know, what we're doing is very similar and components come together so well. You know, when you look at what they're doing and what we intend to do coming out of the communities. So when we talk about the minerals that's out there, you know, he's talking about the tanzanite and the jewels that's out there. We're going to be sending 100 young men out there, you know, out there for the jewels. They're going to go out there and study the jewels first. We have, you remember, this is California, so this was, you know, back in the day, this was the golden state, you know, and so there are a lot of abandoned mines and things of that nature that we're going to be training on understanding minerals, how to shake mineral up when it comes from underneath the ground, how to break it down, what's the different temperatures of melting different minerals, how to cut the different minerals, how to set this up. We love the jewelry. I tell people, you know, when you talk about the platinum market in 1991, nobody knew what platinum was. As soon as we put it in our music, you can't go to any jewelry store in America right now without finding platinum. In the 1990s, you couldn't find platinum in a jewelry store. It was unheard of. So the same way that market is set, we can do the same thing with so many minerals from Africa by sending our youth out there. When you talk about the forms that's out there, all the different herbs and flavors out there. So when you talk about the Tanzanites, these guys are amazing markets. They've already been to Fritos, so it's very, you already know you're going to have some of the different herbs from Africa coming. That there's so many flavors of fruits and vegetables that we have never tasted before because we're in America. So when they come out with an exotic African flavor cashew, we're going to want to buy that and set that up in place because this is what we're going to be able to present. We're going to be able to have our young women, our young men go to Africa. There's no farm. There's no mine. There's no company in Africa that exists that we can product here that we should not have an African-American person in contact with. There needs to be a relationship with every single farm, every business, every structure, whether it's bamboo whether it's fruits, whether it's figs, start our own fig Newton company, whatever it is, and then from that part, create that and send it into the diaspora. We got Haiti, we got a Puerto Rico, we got Bermuda, we got so many different flavors, so many different fruits. So as we start to transition this, yes, we got captain classes that we're training for captain classes. We're going to have truck driving classes because we're in California. We got the Port of Long Beach. We got L.A. Long Beach. So when this stuff comes in, we're training our captains to be the captains that's going to go import and do export. So as we buy our ships and stuff, we ask Transit, look, we got our ships. We just got our captains fully graduated. Can we take some of this haul up here? Because I know we need some of this stuff going where to Haiti. We need some stuff going to Bermuda. We got all these different flavors coming, Jamaican flavored cashews with the different fruit vegetables. These are connections that's going to be made in diaspora, utilizing our youth and their youth. Their percentage is full of youth too, which means that the youth that we're training, they have so many youth here at the age of 20 that our 20-year-olds, our 25, their 25s are going to have long-term good relationships together. We're going to be able to conduct business for a long time as we start to build those relationships up. There's no reason why, as we are training our young girls here in our catering classes, before they get their catering trucks, we're going to send them to Africa. They're going to learn the different meals, the different flavors, the different foods, learn all these different cultures and set. So then what happens is the farming companies out there are going to create their relationship. So all the different foods that they got, now all the ingredients for those are now shipped from that country to the young woman here. She's going to have those. She's going to be able to get into the catering truck, and now we're going to have authentic catering trucks from Uganda, from Nigeria, with all different kind of flavors and set. So when they graduate, we have our businesses to go into. You know, the one thing we need to do is create corporations, because again, like I said, we send our kids to college, they graduate, but what are they going to do when they graduate? They're going to go to Fritos? No, we don't want them to go to Fritos. We want all the new young Martins to come into us. We want all the new young Lloyds coming to us. As they build them and they structure them and they finish their training, their classes, we want these businesses to set in place. I know they have a great distribution deal because these guys are amazing, but at the same time, I'm looking at secondary, whatever plan B was, we got too many barbershops. We got a lot of these new style kiosks that are so cool. These kiosks they have are so cool. So we're talking about putting snacks in these kiosks. So no matter as these fruits come and these snacks come, we're going to have distribution for them. We have a barbershop on every single corner. We put some of these cool kiosks. I mean, they got the kiosks that are free, the soda. We implement. There's so many cool kiosks that we can put all of our snacks and set in place. We're also going to partner with a lot of our different foster homes because back in the days, you know, we used to have what's called candy stores. You know what I'm saying? In the community, you would go and you would be able to go down in there. You would get your pickle. You better get your Kool-Aid. You better get these things and put it in there and have that at the different candy stores. But they shut that down from us. We lost those ports. But as long as we got clothes, items, snacks, and things with the internet, the things are, we're going to make sure we have these set distributed. Our charter schools and Black African-American charter schools should have these snacks set up in place. So there's things that once you start to market and promote, we're going to create so many different outlets to ensure the stability of this program, this company, as well as all the other companies that we want to create coming out of what they've already done. So what they're building here is an opportunity for us to grow at such a significant rate because the relationships are already there. They're already getting cashews, so it's very easy to go there and find, you know, a new vegetables that are out there, new herbs out there, and start to see those flavors and how we can integrate that. You know, it's very simple. We talk about Kool-Aid. Black people, we love our Kool-Aid, the Kool-Aid. There are so many different fruits out there. We dry those fruits up. We take the flavor from those fruits, and we create our own Kool-Aid company now. Now we got Jamaican berry, African Ugandan berry. We got Nigerian berry. You know, all these things are set in place. Now we can create so many different markets, so many different flowers and scents out there for our own African traditional perfumes and things of that nature. Yes, roses are beautiful, but what's our African rose? Our roses come from America. What's our African rose can be? What can that be? And we find that out and pick that, and now we've got things that we're giving to our wives and giving to our daughters when they turn 15. There's so many things that we can go and we can present out there and build those relationships because these gentlemen have already done that. So I just employ the opportunity that investing into this is not just investing into Canada, but it's really investing into the future of the diaspora or the future of Africa and really the whole future of the Cubanon. Because once we merge us, the diaspora, and Africa together, we have a Cubanon again. You know what I'm saying? We're moving in as one. Haiti, we're shipping stuff to Haiti, to Africa. Africa sending stuff to the Americas. I mean, we got stuff going to Brazil. We got stuff going here to Bermuda. We got stuff going here to the Bahamas. I mean, there's so many opportunities and so many different vegetables that this relationship in Tanzania starts, that this is where, you know, you start to the Martin and Lloyd University for CEOs that comes 5 years from now as things start down and starts to grow. So I just see so many great opportunities and so many great features from this project that they're working on, that, you know, the potential, which is heavily strong for us to grow at a significant level, I think. And I just employ everyone to really understand what we have here, who the gentleman we have as leadership, because this is the type of leadership we have always needed in our communities to really press forward. Leadership that's going to stand strong. We ain't got to worry about times enough getting sold, because if it was going to be sold, I guarantee you it would have been bought out a long time ago. So the fact that they've hung in there, kept the company, being there to keep it going, I feel very comfortable saying that this is something that I think could really change the life of everything we are doing here, because there's so many great, awesome, amazing ramifications that can come from this. And I digress. And that's just questions. I'm sorry.
All I can say is wow. Wow. What a wonderful. You must be a preacher's kid, I'm telling you.
Hey, Lord, this is for fans.
Say again.
Let the church say amen.
I know that's right. But you know, it is amen. And I think, you know, I don't know if you can get it any better than that. I truly don't. And thank you so much. You've inspired me. I really mean that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. You've inspired me to say those, because, you know, to see what we have and opportunity we have here, it's, you know what I'm saying, it's kind of like, you know, in a sense, us getting, you know, some very powerful monsters that can really help us get on track. And I think people really need to understand that. That's very important to any movement.
Give me your name, please.
Marshawn Kinsey.
Okay, so Marshawn. Both Lloyd and I know this is much bigger than us, and we know we both know who we work for. I don't know if the listeners know that Lloyd is a PK, he's a preacher's kid, and my dad was active in the church, chairman of the trustee board, and all those things. And so, both of us came from families that loved us and nurtured us and got us to where we are, and certainly we both reflect on those things that we learned when we were growing up. But please know that while God has blessed both of us with our careers, we both know that this is much bigger than us, and that's why we're talking to everyone about what we're doing. And we also know that the gifts and talents that we have, they came from above. All of that came from above. So Lloyd often says when we're doing our presentations that he doesn't really know why God favored him with all of these accomplishments, but he knows that it's to leave everything here, you know, and he wants to, at the end of the day, we both look forward to God saying, well done. So we got a lot of work to do to get there. We need team members. We need young people like you. We're going to need a lot of more gifts and talents to help us with what we have to do. We got to change the mindset of the people of Tanzania. There's 10% of the cashew nuts that are harvested and grown in Tanzania that are processed there. Of the 10% that's processed, 95% of the employees are women. And guess what? They don't get paid if they break a nut. So they are very good at what they do. They are very good at what they do. And so we have a focus on the young people and the women, and we don't see them all just being employees. We plan to create 40 million jobs over the next 10 years throughout the nine cashew nut-producing countries. But we're going to create there's going to be a lot of entrepreneurs that come out of this, and we believe a lot of them are going to be women, and we believe a lot of them are going to be the young people. And what we've seen since we've been on the ground, those ladies that are providing that expertise, they get paid $4 to $7 a day. $4 to $7 a day. And Lloyd and I are committed to not running a plantation. We plan to be an employer of choice. We want to set the standard for everybody coming behind us and those that are already there to give these employees not only fair wages, but also benefits, retirement, and other things. So we're over there. We want to take the best of what we've learned in America and globally. Lloyd did a lot of business in China and other places while he was running Maytag and Frito-Lay. We want to take the best of what we've learned and share it with our brothers and sisters, our daughters and our kakas. Kaka is brother and daughter is sister in Swahili. We want to take the best of what we've learned over there. And by the way, everything that we're doing, we're not creating anything new. Processing cashew nuts. My dad wasn't a cook, but the one thing he did do at our house was he roasted peanuts. So we talking about roasting cashew nuts. This is not rocket science. Lloyd has told me a couple of times because I said, "Hey, bro, tell me how hard is this going to be? What we're doing?" And he said, "Martin, when I was running Frito-Lay, I would have had a middle level manager handle this." Okay, industrialization of the cashew nut subsector. And so look, there have been some people have said, you know, we're not going to be able to find the employees, and they've had all kind of stuff. It's going to be hard work. In America, look, I've chaired the Chamber of Commerce in Alexandria, Louisiana, the Central Louisiana Chamber of Commerce. We recruited Union Tank Car. I was chairman of the Airport Authority. God allowed me to do those things. And guess what we did when we had major industry coming in? If we needed to get the employees trained, guess what? We had workforce development grants. The government paid to train the employees for the companies expanding. So guess what? We're going to take the best of America over to Tanzania. That includes some of you on listening in tonight. And we're going to train the people. This is not hard work. We're talking about roasting cashew nuts. Putting some chocolate on them. Do you really think that's that hard to do? There are some people who would make it sound like we're getting ready to do rocket science. This is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. And the people are waiting on us. And then we're going to pay them well, and they get to live in better homes and own our vehicles and do other things that you do. Save for retirement. Do you think the people are not going to respond to that? It's just like it's we do this all. This has been done in America, and it's been done in China. Lloyd told me when we were talking about this, he said, "Martin, it took America 70 to 80 years to industrialize, and that's why he said, look at the men who built America. It took China about 30 years." With what we've seen in Tanzania, it should take 10 years or less, and we're going to see major changes there. And there will be people who will say it can't be done. I will tell you it's been done, and we're going to get it done. With the help of God, we're going to get this done. And I don't want y'all to think this is hard work. We got people wanting to see a better day. We have some ladies who are in mining and doing Tanzanite. They've been trying to sell Tanzanite, stop going through China and India and all these places with their Tanzanite. Can you take us to America? Guess what? Lloyd said, we're going to bring you to America. And we brought them to America. And they've been wanting to get over here and have the market open up for them. Not people looking at them down, looking down on them because they black or because they African. That's what we did. We took them to a jeweler. We want to sell Tanzanite in here. Guess what he said? Hurry up and get it over here. This is not hard work, and our people want us to come help them. So I would encourage all of you, please don't be like I was. I was wrong about Africa. I don't want y'all to be blind, brainwashed by America, by what they show us about Africa. Please know this is an opportunity for us to go back and make a difference. They've asked us to help them with gold mines. And my wife said, Martin, we started investing over there in 2013. And we invested from 2013 to 2017. And what I learned out of that was not only did I need to be on the ground over there helping, I had a young wife and young kids during that time. And so I wasn't over there with my other business partner. And he went over 15 times. We paid for him to go 15 times. I went once. And he came back with 15 ideas. And guess what? He wasn't all wrong. It was all that stuff over there to do, clean cooking, build a university, build housing. He came back with great opportunities, but you can't do everything. And my wife asked me, I've been married 28 years. She said, Martin, what's going to be different this time? And I said, well, Lord and I are going to get the first pickle out the jar. And now I say the first cashew out the bag. But I said we're not going to try to chase everything. And as soon as I got over there after I told her that, Dr. Gideon Kaunda, and he runs a company called National Investment Company Limited. Dr. Gideon Kaunda got Lord and me over there. He said, guys, I'd like for you to invest in a gold mine with us. And I called my wife. I said, Karen, baby, I don't know if this is the Lord or the devil. I've never been asked to invest in a gold mine, okay? But listen, it's so many opportunities over there. And we have people that need our help. And it's really, Lord, the other night, a couple of nights ago when I said there's a bird nest on the ground, it's almost unbelievable for us to have this opportunity. But I'll let you all know this. They have never had a team led by a former Fortune 500 CEO on the ground willing to move there to do what we're doing. Lloyd actually last November moved to Tanzania from Detroit and has applied for dual residency. And I'm right behind him. I'm going to apply. I'm not gonna move over there. I got daughters in college over here, one in med school, so I will tell you, but I'm gonna spend at least half of my time there. My daughters are cheering me on, and my wife is gonna have to join the forces because she sees them saying they're gonna move with me if I go over there permanently. So please know this. I want most of you who have not already been there to open up your minds and think about the major opportunities that we have to help industrialize the continent, not just the country of Tanzania. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin and Lloyd. I want to, Dr. Long, you're always sitting so quietly and taking it all in, and I know you got a lot you want to say or ask. Dr. Long.
Again, thanks for the opportunity and a great presentation again, expected by Mr. Ward and Mr. Johnson. The only thing I want to say is that it's been a fantastic 3 weeks of learning, and I'm fully in support of the mission and look forward to the next step. So there's not a lot of questions, but the conclusion has been very enlightening. That's pretty much it.
Thank you. Thank you. Dr. Moncrief. Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, back to me?
Yes, it's back to you.
All righty. So my questions for Mr. Ward and Mr. Johnson, you use the OPEC model to set up refineries. The first shipment of nuts, of cashews, are going to be arriving in November. Can you talk about, you know, the refineries that you have set up in Tanzania and the workforce, you know, how this is going to be whose workforce is now and how is this going to be training the people in Tanzania? You know, just looking down the line toward the future.
Yeah, thank you for that question. So first, the refineries were a example, we're not going to actually build refineries. What we're saying is that in OPEC, what they did, the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world, is they built refineries. And all refineries did was take crude oil and refine it. And so the same, what came out of their ground, same thing, is value added and then sold at a higher economic value. And they formed OPEC to operate in unity. So we said those two fundamental principles created the greatest transfer of wealth in the history of the world. And so we were using that to be instructive around how we can approach Africa. So we can approach Africa one country at a time. We could just stay in Tanzania and make Tanzania the grand place that it can be as it starts to industrialize their agricultural crops. But what we did under God's provision and his expansion of our territory, and the expansion came by the other countries coming to us and asking us to apply MDI to their cashew crops. So of the nine principal producing countries, Tanzania being one, that harvest cashew, RCNs, eight of them, one including Tanzania, have approached us directly just to apply MDI. So the idea that we can build a coalition is already done. God says it's already done. Go do the work. They've come to us. And so we took that platform and we put it into a public market context and had the financials of that analyzed, and that created a $1 trillion platform. That's a $1 trillion platform. So it's not building refineries, it's building processing plants. That's the analog, the analogy of refineries in the Middle East are cashew processing and value addition plants in Africa. So our refineries are going to be processing plants, consumer goods packaging, value added, and we're going to sell directly into the global marketplace. So this approach will create, as Martin mentioned earlier, 40 million jobs throughout Africa over the next 10 years. And you are absolutely right. The number one challenge is not building the plants. It is hiring, training, and preparing the workforce. 40 million jobs. And so what we put into our plan is that the year before we build a plant physically, you start to build it, it takes about a year for us to build one of our plants. So when we start building the plant, we will hire the people then. We don't hire the people when the plant is built to run it. We'll hire them when we begin to build the plant. And you say, well, okay, so what are you going to do with them? We're going to have vocational training. We're going to have workforce training. We're going to have because our industrialization is going to be human-centric industrialization. We're not using machines to eliminate the human content in our supply chain. We are not doing that. We're using machines and automation to increase productivity of people and improve quality. We're not eliminating jobs. In fact, we're building jobs. And so your point is very topical. It's very on point because it's the biggest challenge. But the challenge has to be faced. We know how to do this. We do. Every major company that builds in the U.S. builds a major plant anywhere in the world. They handle workforce training as one of the most important things, and some of you are involved in that. You know what I'm talking about. You have to identify, select, train, develop, support the workforce, and that's what we're going to do. So it's a major initiative relative to the capital, the build-out, and that's called CapEx, and then what we call the working capital, the OpEx, operating capital, that we'll need. And we build it into our plan. We build in our plan to essentially have the workforce for that plant come on the day that the plant starts to be built, not the day that the plant is commissioned to operate. And we'll have to figure out how we make that time, as useful as possible to train the workforce. And we're going to put them in other plants, and we've got other ways that we can train them, and we can show them other things along the way. And so, but that's what we're going to do. But all that has yet to be worked out, and that's what Martin is saying. We've got tremendous opportunities for
both in the U.S. and in Africa, have great job for great people that many of you may have those skills, those interests, those capabilities. We're saying to every investor, send us your resume. We're going to have a master database, and we're going to be looking for talent. And we're going to first look within our own family. And if we can't find the resources that we need, then we'll go elsewhere.
Thank you. As far as, I wanted Marshawn to talk about this, but he didn't. If he could just focus on, he talked about training young people to do jobs and then having them have those jobs over in Africa. And I was looking for an opportunity for a partnership in some kind of way for young people to do this. And so if Marshawn could share a little bit about that concept, and then maybe you can talk about the opportunities for people to come there to work from outside of Africa.
Well, okay. I'm looking at two ways. I'm looking at two ways. You know, I'm looking at the marketing and distribution that has to be done here in the States, which of course will be done different when it comes to dealing with African Americans. And now, of course, since the product is coming out of Tanzania, we also want to sell the product in Uganda too. We also want to sell the product in Africa. We also want to sell the product in Haiti as well too, and in Jamaica. You see what I'm saying? So as we're looking at the full scale, we're looking at the product coming in on a global scale. Now, I know particularly they can only focus on the central part because in the business and the corporate structure, they kind of have to be able to focus on the presentation of the business, being able to move kind of, you know, residually, and it has to be able to grow in a sense. You know, but of course, what we intend to do while they're working on their side and getting the structure part done, we see the monster coming. So since we know the monster is coming, we already are going to be pre-prepared for the monster to come by already creating this distribution outlets, in a sense. So it's not a problem for us to already go throughout these locations and sort of create farmers markets. You see what I'm saying? Where we already know whatever place we have, the chance that it's going to be sold in these farmer markets. We know that they're going to go out and find other access of other things that's going to be sold there. So we need to create those avenues, and not just the Tanzanites, but we know there's other projects going. We understand that Tanzanite is first, and this has to go through and get set, and once that's in preparation, but that's not our concern. We know we have well-capable leaders to handle that part. So we, on the other end, kind of be preemptive strike in a sense. So our goal essentially is when we're working with our youth here, say, coming out of Compton, California, we would, again, have some youth, 100 youth, that would go into the CEO training class, because then this what they would do is these CEOs now, after they go through their classes, they will be individually now trained by Lloyd and Martin. Now that they're trained, they can take their school. Now, 100 can go to what? 100 different places throughout the diaspora. We can send 5 to Haiti. We can send 5 over here to Uganda. We can send 5 to Tanzania. We can send 5 of these CEOs now who are now, what do? They go grab 100 of those Haitians that's there. And now those Haitians are now going to get the training that we had dancing them. So now we got 100 Haitians that are now prepared to be CEOs. The same thing in Uganda, 100 CEOs in Uganda, 100 CEOs in Tanzania. So now we got the CEO part done. But we want to do the same thing with the farmers too, because we need to make sure we have our farmers in place. So as we set things up, they already have Tanzania. They already have farmers on the cash in place already. So us sending 100 individuals out there, men and women, who are going to go out there and watch them form, how they form the nuts, how they crack the nuts, how this part is set in place, how this is done. They're trained officially on the company on how to do it on a what economic scale, how to do this on how do we crack the nuts, build the manufacturing facility, all this part. We need to have a team training there that's just learning why all this is being built. So when they're building a manufacturing facility, we need to have 100 team members there that are going to be learning how to build that factory too. So what happens is when they learn this, now that this factory is built, we are not only that we have individuals that built this factory, but we have people here that are trained on how to build those factories. So now those 100 people that are trained, now they go to Haiti, now they go to Uganda, now they go to Tanzania, now they go to other parts of the place, and they are special guys in what? Building factories now, because they built already the Tanzania factory, seeing how it was built. So now we take the resources, and now we have different Haitians working together, we have African Americans working together, we got Ugandans all traveling together with all of these different skills, is essentially on farming, because we need these different herbs. There's so many different herbs that go throughout the diaspora, so we need one place where they go. Now that we have these farmers who are the ones who go out there and learn how to farm, they specialize in that. They go to other farmers and they say, okay, what herbs do you have here? How do these grow? How do these grow? So now they specialize. So now when we come here in the States, in America, we have a facility where we have all these special herbs for this flea market, of just a herb flea market that we have here. And now we have every individual come to this herb flea market. Now, yes, that herb flea market is going to have, what, over 100 different people that were different herbs from throughout the diaspora, where we can come and say, this is for sickness, this is for health, this is for this, all these herbs to be there. So we're going to create all those little relationships. The same thing will be in Haiti. There's going to be a farmer's market out there with all just those special herbs there, where they come, coming from America, coming from diaspora, coming from Africa, Uganda, all those different places there. So we're just going to be training each other to recycle the same system over again, in the same in an aspect to where everybody's going to have the opportunity to learn.
Yeah. So basically, I think that you're saying, and I think what Dr. Montrese is after, is you know, where you have a plan to send, you know, Americans from, you know, various different types of programs or reentry people, you know, people who maybe have been homeless or challenged in many different ways. Your initial plan to send them to Africa, you know, to help mm-hmm. to industrialize, mm-hmm. you know, Africa mm-hmm. and the different areas. And then, you know, where they would go there, you know, be trained on the ground, and then, you know, come back and bring those skills back here and kind of like a trade skill community, right?
Because you have to remember. Yeah, you have to remember it has to be targeted right. I'm not going to be able out front until the program developed to get the people coming straight out of prison to go straight international. They're not going to let them come on probation and let me just take them to Africa and stuff. We got to have a proven, relationship and making that move where they feel secure about us taking people out of penitentiary straight to Africa. So when we have those ones that come out of the penitentiary, those are the ones we have set that are already prepared for the import. So as soon as those packages come in, when Tanzanians come in, we train those ones out of prison to bring that in. They're trained to drive the trucks, to bring them to the stores, to bring them to the location, to set up the things that set up in place. So everything will be triggered right, that's set up in there. You know, we'll have the foster kids that will be utilized, that we can go to open up those buildings that will be able to utilize, because again, those are the ones we want to focus on, because they don't have a mom and dad. So those are the ones that, you know, a lot of them come from different harder places and come from different places where they just don't have the opportunity when they get older to have that family component. So this is their family component. So what we do is when we're training them, those are the ones that we can send overseas, that we can work to be the CEOs and be the corporate. So we're trying to make things just structured in place. You know, when we talk about the single mothers and the single mothers and being able to have them go for 90 days, if the family come, if the kids are there, how does that work? So there are certain elements that we want to be able to make sure that we secure, so that we have the single mothers traveling program that's set in place, so that the kids can go, the kids can travel we need to. So there's a lot of little complexity that we're writing up, but everything will be definitely brought up here in the bill.
Lloyd?
Yeah,
who's speaking?
I had you. No, but I've heard everything. Yeah, so what were you asking, Mayor?
Oh, I heard someone speaking, and I thought it was your voice.
No.
Yeah. In response. Okay. I do want to ask error code 571, and then we'll come back to you, Dr. Montrese.
You're fine.
Error code 571. 0730.
That's
you can ask your question or have your comment.
I'm astounded by the information that I'm getting. This is actually my first time on the line. My name is Ron Nickelberry. I'm out of Washington, D.C., and I do have a sales and marketing background. But with that being said, I actually just wanted to get some basic information on how to invest in the IPO, and then who it is that I'm supposed to contact in order to do so, and then what is the length of time that I have in order to come up with the investment money. And then if you need, and also what would be the contact number in reference to being of some type of help in reference to doing any type of training, because I have I'm a U.S. veteran and got a background in sales and restaurant management.
Okay, so Martin, why don't you talk about how to invest, and then I'll give some thoughts on the rest of your comment question. Mark?
Thank you.
Okay, sir, what I would recommend you consider doing is come join us at one of our pre-IPO investment calls. We have them on Monday and Thursday of each month at 7 p.m. Eastern. But if you would like to talk directly about investing, I would encourage you to join one of those calls. You can also contact me. My phone number, if you have a pen handy.
Oh, yeah, I got pen and paper just waiting.
Okay. Yeah, you can contact my number is 318-792-2456. And what I'd like you to do is text me your name and email address. I'm going to get you, I'll get an invite sent to you to our next pre-IPO call, which is tomorrow. If you can't make that one, we'll have it again on next Monday.
Well, I'll be there tomorrow. I just need to be correct in reference to the phone number, 318-792.
Yeah, 2456.
2456. And your name again, sir?
My name is Martin, M-A-R-T-I-N, last name Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N. Mm-hmm.
And mine is Ron Nickelberry, just so when you see the name, it'll make sense to me.
All right, hey, Ron, thanks for your interest and thanks for serving.
Thank you.
Yeah,
just,
and hey, Ron.
Just
Ron,
don't ask me to say it again.
So, Ron, and anyone else that would be interested in joining us from the connection through Mary, we would like you to reference that you're sponsored by Dr. Mary Lee. So any of you that have an interest, we honor her and we want to honor her sources. And so please help us honor her if you have an interest in walking with us and indicate that when you make a contact to us. Or alternatively, you can always go through Dr. Mary Lee as well, and she knows the process, and she can make sure that you get proper attention. So you can go directly to Martin, or you can go to Dr. Mary Lee, and if you go to Martin, make sure you reference Dr. Mary. Okay, on the second part of you. Okay, go ahead. Ask your question.
No, I'm sorry. I'm saying, since I have Mr.
Okay,
Johnson's information, I'll go ahead and
yeah, no problem.
Okay, let me give you my number. I'm going to give you my number on now. You can text or call 571-251-5193. That's 571-251-5193. Okay, go ahead.
And Mrs. Lee, should I go ahead and reference my name to you in reference to Mr. Martin, or just one of the other?
If you contact me, Will, you try Martin, I would feel that. You would reference my name to Martin if you contact Martin. Or if you don't reach him because he's busy or something, you can contact me, and I can still get the same information to you.
Okay, what I'll do is, just to be safe, I'll go ahead and make sure that I send it out to both of you so that you guys have my contact, so that I can make sure I get that information.
That's fine. That's
okay.
Fine.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining
us.
Thank you.
Oh.
thank you for what you guys are doing. I mean, I'm pretty much standing up on the floor, running up and down the hallway. So I'm excited.
Thank you.
That's wonderful.
Now, on your second question around how do you get involved, you know, with opportunities that might emerge from the work that we're doing, you know, whether you're an investor or not, you can give us your background and your resume and your skills and your desires. But as an investor, we will give consideration for our investor, our family. And since you're intending to move in that direction, it will be very for you to submit. And we have our general counsel is also our chief investor advocate, and he has a staff that works with him that will be attentive to all of our shareholder or investor needs. And so you will have an opportunity. If you come to one of our calls on Monday or Thursday, both are at 7 o'clock Eastern, and any of you have an interest, you can also contact Dr. Mary Lee, and she'll be able to get you into that call. And you'll see what's going on. And we're very interested in, look, we're going to create a lot of jobs. You can imagine. There's going to be a lot of jobs, both in Africa and in the USA. So we need talent and looking for talent. And so let's get in the game, give us a resume, what's your interest, tell us what you want to do, why you want to do it, how good you are. And, you know, you got to be able to perform. You got to bring games. If you bring games, then we'll put you in. That's it. Okay. And we'll also look at the – so it's not just you got to have it all in town. You just got to know where you are, who you are, and we'll go forward. We'll talk to you.
Thank you, and I thank you guys for your time.
Indeed.
Absolutely. Thank you. Dr. Moncrief?
Yes. I was just looking at the time. If Mr. Ward or Mr. Johnson would like to just expand a little bit about the opportunities for working both with the company in Tanzania and here, not just for people who are already trained and have backgrounds in this field, but young people who are thinking about investing in the company, what kind of backgrounds, work experiences should they be bringing to the table? And for people who Marshawn works with, who are, I would say, early in investigating their true potential in the workforce, where should they, what kind of backgrounds should they be pursuing in order to have opportunities to work with you guys on this venture?
Yeah, let me take that one. So this is a big part of our outreach and our connection through the diaspora to all people. I'll give an example of one of the things that we're doing, and that is, we're first going to market. So it's GTM, go to market. How do we go to market? We're going to go to market to market leaders in major cities representing major states. So the first one is New Orleans, Port Louisiana. Then we're going to go to Miami and Orlando for Florida. And then go to Georgia and Savannah for, Atlanta and Savannah for Georgia and like that. And Detroit for Michigan and Dallas, Fort Worth for Texas and like that. But think about basically every state's going to have a market leader. We have three defined, 51 states. We got a lot of positions to fill. So that's at a leadership level. That's them. And those of you, we have our major debutante, our coming out party is going to be in New Orleans on November 4th through 6th. It's a TanzaFest activity. Dr. Mary, you can get that information from through Martin from our market leader in New Orleans, Pastor George Green. And he has a cadre. I mean, he has a cadre. He's put together a team of locals. That is amazing. And this is what we want to happen. And so from, you know, warehousing to distribution to in-store merchandising and displays to they're putting up billboards now, some fabulous billboards. They're doing marketing. And it's business to run a business. And we're starting that in the local area. So first thing we're going to be doing is looking for leaders that can be market leaders across the country. And that will be an executive leadership position. And we are looking for those executive leaders to build locally their team. And their team will be reflective of, you know, our guide rails. And our, you know, think about like a franchise. Think about McDonald's, right? And you get the brand, you get the technology, but you got to operate it, right? So think about it somewhat like that. And we're going to have, you know, market leaders across the country. So that's one. And that market leader is going to build organization. I would say each organization in a major city, a major state could be 50 people. I don't know. It could be more. It could be less. But it takes people to do this work. It takes people to do this work. I'm talking USA now. And one of the things that we're doing is we're working with Southern, Martin's alma mater, and we're talking to them about them sponsoring their business class to be a what we call a super dealer. And super dealer is where we offer 30% off of retail, and you give them a container of product. Container product is a container that holds about $250,000 worth of product. And they monetize it, and that 30% they develop. I mean, that's profit for them. So they developed a way to monetize it, and they get the financial benefit of such. And we will train them, walk with them, help them. They will use their social media platforms. They will, you know, they'll decide they want to sell some on campus. They want to maybe go off and do some special events and whatever. We want to have young people start to develop entrepreneurial, and this is low-risk entrepreneurial development. We're going to get them the product. We're going to show them a way. We're going to give them, you know, a nice margin in the business, and we're going to ask them to figure out how to do it. So if you say, well, wow, that's so generous. And we said, no, see, super dealers is the way we're going to go to market. We're going to offer that to retailers. We're going to offer that to, you know, the market leaders. They're going to have So if you have 30% margin, you can offer 25% margin to a retail store, as an example, although going into retail, we will have to manage that because it's a different ballgame. Outside of retail, you pretty much have, an open playing field. So this is this entrepreneurial development, and you got to understand that we're talking about many different crops. The cashew nut subsector is where we'll start, and it is a gift from heaven. God had given me a magic wand and said, my son, design a crop that you could take and lead the realization, the manifestation of my promise and provision to Africa. I wouldn't have been smart enough to design this crop. It's a fabulous crop. Avocados, cassava. There are these crops that are just fresh crops. And there'd be many more that we'll be bringing. And so the opportunity for development of human talent and the opportunity for the creation of jobs will be very strong in the U.S. as we help unlock God's provision and promise in Africa. So, you know, we can't tell you exactly what every job is, but we can tell you that we know, just like the question was made, how are you going to get the people in Africa to fund all these plants you guys are building, right? And you got to do the work. That's how you're going to do it. You got to do the work. We're going to take the best science that we know, and we're going to apply it. And we're not going to be shy about what it takes to get it done. Same thing in the U.S. And so I can't answer your question, unfortunately, in a definitive way, but I can tell you that I know there's going to be lots of opportunity.
And if I can piggyback off that, you know, when you talk about the marketing
and the promotion that comes with marketing a company like this. You know, you got like the Planet of Peanut God. You know what I'm saying? This sells cashews. You know, we were looking at, you know, as we develop our black authors and we start to sell our book. I remember growing up, remembering that you have the classification books where you used to go to school and you would have all the books you wanted to buy, the different kind of books and stuff were just like those books that you, those little, like a newspaper with all the different magazines, all the different books you could buy. You know, we want to do the same thing with black authors. And so we used to have fundraisers. So we used to sell candy to buy the books that we wanted to buy. Well, when you come to marketing and stuff, when we have our black authors and all these new books coming out for our kids and new black comic books, you know, be able to have our kids utilize hands in us to do marketing promotion, to go out there and sell this, to raise funds for them to be able to read these special books and get these books and things like that, teaching them economic development. So bringing these concepts in there as they start to set up on what we're going to do to really build that out. Because remember, when it comes to, you know, you have the Planet Peanuts guy, it's nothing for us to have our character out in Compton, out in Atlanta, going to New York. You know, you talk about the distribution and the different trucks and the free that we could give to Africa by winning certain packages. So there's so many marketing components that comes along with what we're doing, the components that have with just our contribution to the music and just the shows and events that we do to be able to get free access to, that we can integrate into the marketing position with Tazanus. It's just amazing. It's just, you know, it's just overwhelming, the potential that it could do for just each different bag. Because when you talk about exclusive flavors, those flavors could release and only the youth, these certain youth tier can have those certain flavors to go. So if you want to spicy ones, you got to get them from the youth that sell them through this program or through this program. So there's so many different avenues or ways of marketing to create a real strong appeal for them, that it's just, you know, the opportunities are really strong.
Thank you so much. You know, I like to, I learn each time I attend the investment meetings on Mondays and Thursdays, and each time we share here, you know, I learned more and more. I had no idea of your plans for, for this expansion. I mean, I know that you had plans for the U.S., but at this magnitude, I didn't know. I didn't know that, you know, you were targeting all 50 states, you know, with leaders and, you know, for training, marketing, distribution, for the management. And you actually have just described, you know, my own business here, the Neighborhood Commerce Institute. We're established, for those who are not familiar with Neighborhood Commerce Institute, we're established. God gave me this vision 20 years ago when I was still very, very deep in white corporate America and white foundations and organizations to develop community development corporations throughout the country. And as an infrastructure to provide the management, you know, economic development, a plan to bring our people together and to bridge, you know, gaps and eliminate barriers in entrepreneurship, you know, for development and training, you know, through, we don't know what CDCs are, you know, that's community development corporations to address the economic needs of low income, you know, our communities. That's what they were established for. We have pretty close to, we're somewhere around 6,000 CDCs in the country, and less than 1.5% are controlled or managed by blacks. And the whole purpose of the CDCs is to build our communities, okay? Money's flow and primarily through what's called CDFI, Community Development Financial Institutions. And it comes from a fund called Community Development Financial Fund, you know, that was established by the federal government back in the 70s, I believe. But that money, which is in truth the multi-billions of dollars, and it comes to us in many forms, cash that is granted to the CDFI. The CDFI then distributes, they have, you know, at their own discretion, decide where that money goes. And it goes in primarily into CDCs, the Community Development Corporations, to build in various communities. I mean, they can make loans with them, they can do grants. And again, it's their discussion. Also, from there comes new market tax credits. Many types of funds flow through the CDFIs. And so Neighborhood Commerce is established to establish CDCs and CDFIs throughout the country to be controlled by us, you know, and we're mirroring the government. So we have a national level, then we have state levels, regional levels, state levels, county levels, city levels, all the way down to the neighborhood. And so we want, there are 237,000 what's called designated neighborhoods. And so each city like mark off or red line or identify certain neighborhoods, and these become official in the records and, you know, through their mapping. And so we want every neighborhood, a black neighborhood, particularly our communities, to have a local NCI office operation, so that, you know, you can go, you know, a few blocks, maybe even walk a few blocks to inquire about establishing your business or becoming an entrepreneur. And then, you know, that local office, that neighborhood office will do so much. And then, of course, then you move to the city office would get involved, you know, all the way up to the national level. So the 50 states, you know, we will have, and we are working on it. We've already identified, you know, leaders in for various states, but we will have a state director. We're mirroring the government. We're mirroring campaigns as well. And so what we have here really is a movement. We want no less than 400, which is really, really, really like extremely conservative entrepreneurs, you know, as leaders and within each state and counties to, you know, to be a part of the CDCs. And so, you know, I want to thank you, Lloyd, for sharing that information. You know, we're here. You know, we're here. We're a 501c3. We will be providing that umbrella for businesses, for organizations that who are seeking 501c3s. We will help with that. But we're a collaboration of talent, you know, of human talent. So we're pooling all of our skill sets together. You know, we're all a piece of a puzzle, so that when we approach, you know, whether it's a banker or a foundation or the government for capital, for funding, and I've seen and worked with like millions of dollars that, you know, in the area of grants that we can't have access to. So when we go, we're not going as a loan company, a loan ranger, but they will have a whole nation of people, you know, NCI collaborators that they will have to say no to. which they're not going to be able to. See, I know I've been on both sides. I've been on the side to review the grant applications. I've been on the side to develop the proposals, you know, the RFP and the requests. I've been on the side to actually, you know, write the proposals. We know what has to go into the development of a successful grant application, and that's what we're bringing to, you know, the nation, to us as a people, you know, because they're just they're not going to share the information. They're not going to tell us. They, you know, but I know God has had me, you know, in these different places where, you know, I know what's required, and it would be extremely difficult, as not totally completely impossible, for us not to get what we are entitled for. To, you know, there are many types of funding that we're entitled to just by who we are and what that grant and was you know earmarked, what it was written up for, what it was granted for, you know, through the government that has been allotted to us already. That money is being used to gentrify our communities, our states, and you know, we can turn that around. But we do have to work to do it. Boy, our time is getting away from us. So I guess we better think about wrapping it up here. Dr. Moncrief, if you want to wrap up your last comments, and then we'd like Martin and Lloyd to be the last voices. And thank you all so very much for joining us. We didn't get a whole lot of hands up, but we I guess we're doing a great job. So
I want to thank Mr. Ward and Mr. Johnson for coming on tonight and sharing this information that really could be life-changing. Opportunities for many of us, and for Mr. Ward to talk about kingdom building and from a spiritual aspect, just as more makes this move, this time in our lives more powerful. I didn't get a chance to talk with them about this my vision of owning our own black medical schools, opening them up, and maybe even partnering with the Tanzanian government to do that. So I'll try to have that conversation offline with them. But the potential opportunities that they're bringing to the table, I just want to thank them for it. And that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Marshawn, go ahead and your final thoughts and comments.
Oh, I'm just excited about the future of what this means for our generation. And, like, you know, I tell everybody, you know, we don't have to get alone on everything, but if we could just get around and say we want to help feed a starving kid, if we can just all come together on that and just come together on that issue, I think this is where we just build from there. So I'm excited about the future. I'm excited about the future in Tanzania, and I'm excited to have such great leaders helping to us to lead the navigation into Africa, into the diaspora. Thank you.
And thank you. All right, gentlemen, our guests.
All right, Martin, why don't you say yours, and I'll close. Martin? Okay, Martin may have had something come up. Do you see him on, Dr. Mary?
I do. I'm positive I said I do. Maybe he's on mute or
Yeah. Hey, Martin, come off mute if you can. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, I'm not sure, but I'm sure Martin would thank all of you, as I do. This was maybe not a lot of questions, but they were a lot of questions. They were deep, very thoughtful, and I think allowed for wonderful discussion, clarification, and alignment. And that's what it's all about, unity in the end. Look, we're not perfect, but we're going to pursue perfection. Jesus, the blood of the Lamb, allows us to be imperfect on earth as we pursue God's wisdom, God's grace, God's provision for us in heaven. The thing is, we must try.
Mm-hmm.
We must try. We must do our best all the time, every time. There's a simple motto I had coming up in corporate America, that if better was possible, good was never enough. If better was possible, good is not enough. That we seek a perfection knowing that we're likely not going to achieve it. I don't know how you achieve perfection on earth. I have never done that. I've never seen anyone do that. But I've seen people that try, and I've seen people that don't give up, and I've seen people that are inspired by something more than themselves do things that change the world. The power of the mustard seed. You have faith of a mustard seed, and you say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and all things shall be possible unto you. The mustard seed, the cashew nut, is the mustard seed. The cashew nut is a trillion-dollar platform in unity. It's the mustard seed, and guess what? God's provision is far greater than that. It is abundance. We, African-Americans, first in line in the diaspora, are in the pole position. And at this moment in time, there's no one else on the track. No one else is doing partnership, reaching down and spending time among the Africans, our kakas and tatas. They don't. They invest their money from afar. They run their plants from afar. They don't go into the society, into the culture, get to know the people. Be a part of community. That's what we've done, and that's what we continue to do. You see, it's our motherland. I'm not confused. I moved over. I have dual residency. I will always be honored to be an American. I will always be honored to be a U.S. citizen, even though this great nation is not perfect. Africa is not perfect. But God's provisions, God's destiny, God's will is. This kingdom time, we invite you to join us. There's so many intersections of interest, opportunity, and greatness. We need to pursue our greatness, not just getting better, but our greatness. What is your superpower? Find your superpower and operate in your superpower. Make a difference that matters. Do something in this time that can last for all times. This is what God's allowing us to do. What we do now can change the trajectory of Africa and the world forever. What we're doing now can be in the annals of all time. And so one of the things that I've gotten out of tonight is that and Dr. Mary will talk to you about this, but we do a trade fair, a job fair. Then after we get through our initial introduction and we look to expand our platform, and that could be after Black History Month, which is our first wave introduction, our debutante into the market, and then we'll be expanding and we'll have more production capacity out of Africa, out of Tanzania, and then expanding to other countries. And when we start to do that, having you know, electronic, digital, I don't know, you know, virtual mm-hmm. Zoom meetings, whatever. But mm-hmm. you know, in the old days, we had job fairs. Let's figure that out. And let's start with our investor base and say, look, here are the jobs we've got. We got 20 jobs here. Here are the requirements. Mm-hmm.
you know, and here's the experience that you need. Here's what the opportunity means in terms of the work that needs to be done, the deliverables that you have to deliver, and here's the compensation for it, and da-da-da-da-da, and it's like a job fair. And because this is, how shall I say it, it's part of the, it's part of unity, and it's part of inclusion. Inclusion isn't just money. Inclusion is a pathway for all of us to find our greatness under God, under heaven. Find your greatness. See, he has made all of us to be great, every one of us. Not the same way, not in the same area. Find yours. Be the best at something. And I really honor this format. This has been a three-part series. I can't thank you all enough for sharpening me, broadening me, helping me think about more connections, more alignments, more ways to share God's provision, God's gift, God's assignments. And thank you all for your the generosity of your time, and your listening ears, and the soul of your mind and your heart. So, Dr. Mary, you have a great thing going on here, and if I can ever be of help to you, and you know we're going to walk together going forward, let's continue this great relationship that we have. Thank you all, and Godspeed to all of you. God protect, and God be with you. Good night.
And thank you so very much. We appreciate you. We're going to give you a few weeks break, and you will be back. Thank you all so very much. This is Dr. Mary Lee. Till next week, stay safe. We love you. Good night. Good night, all.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob us, slang, now we locked up a game. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Couple of quirks, can't call it pancakes, cause you're poor some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the road is still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, racing dough. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland security now, there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres. Take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early. It's